Joe.
Hi, how are you?
I am okay. How are you doing?
Good, good.
Whoops.
Uh-oh.
I'm so sorry. Did I turn that off?
That's fine.
All right, Joe, here's Dr. Susan.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Joe?
Hi.
Hi, Joe. I'm sorry. I was a few minutes just finishing a little lunch on Friday. It was like, it's Friday.
Yeah, it's a good day, isn't it?
Yeah, every day's a good day, Joe.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Stafford, thank you for talking with us here in Grandview Schools. We really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, I'm grateful that you'd even call me. Thank you.
Absolutely. We love to highlight graduates that go on to greater pastures, and we really did want to catch up with you and talk to you about your time here and just some things in general. So my first question for you is, when did you leave Lynn, Massachusetts for Grandview, Missouri, and what were the circumstances?
Well, Joe, I have to ask you a first question first.
Absolutely, please.
Where are you, and how are you? Are you a student at Grandview? Help me first.
Yes, my name is Joe Domino. I am in the IT department. I tend to be a go-getter, and I've kind of spearheaded a podcast series for the district. I'm the webmaster, and I've been in the district for about 6 years now. And over the years, it's kind of been my goal to get about 10 podcasts done with a variety of folks, whether it's people that excel in the district currently, alumni, other people. In fact, I had mentioned Teresa Neal was her maiden name, and she runs our help desk. She went to school with you. And
same year as myself?
63 she graduated.
What year?
1963.
Oh, she's a year after me then. I graduated in 62. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, and she...
I know her face, Joe. I don't remember her name, but I'll remember her face.
Absolutely. And she had mentioned you and mentioned your history, and I was like, that's perfect. I'd love to get her on the phone and talk to her a little bit about her time here, and that's where we're at.
What year are you in there? What year are you in Grandview?
Actually, I'm a near 40-year-old man. I've been here employed within the district for about 6 years now. I actually have a background in broadcasting and have I've been in the realm of journalism and different things. Moonlight. I actually have a jazz show here in town, but my main job is as a IT professional here in Grandview.
Well, thank you, because I thought, you know, I got to find out, 40 years old is young for us, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I put something down. Give me a second to catch my juice drink. 1 minute. Huh?
Absolutely, you bet.
Got the door so I can have this time, and now I don't know what I did with it. 1 minute, please.
You bet.
Is this being recorded?
Yeah, I'm recording it, but it's fine. I'm going to be editing, so it's, okay. You know, totally fine.
Just want to make sure for you. Oh, you thought I was on live or something, Tammy? It's being recorded, but so I just wanted to make sure how it was being handled, that's all.
Yeah.
Because I'm sitting here talking about everything else. Okay.
No, it's all good. It's all pre-recorded, and I'll make it sound good.
May I just take a minute to pray for this interview and pray for you, Joe, please?
Sure.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate it so very much.
You bet.
Lord God, thank you for one more day. Thank you for the Grandview Bulldogs. You know, we all got our foundation and start there. Thank you for covering us because we're such fools. And thank you that the truth will be enlightening for other people and kids that are going to follow. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you. Okay, now ask me anything you want.
Absolutely. First question I have is, when did you leave Lynn, Massachusetts for Grandview, Missouri, and what were the circumstances?
I left Lynn, Massachusetts because my father... Well, I'm going to really back up if you're starting there, okay? because my grandfather had passed away, and my grandfather, whose name was Joseph Vignoni, had been the first man to start a newspaper there in Lynn, Massachusetts. Because the Italians couldn't read English. Mm. And so he started the Italian newspaper and then changed his name to Joseph Pino and went on the stage to open at the palace for Jack Benny, who's somebody before your time and my time.
Yeah.
So he was established newspaper there. Don't have the name on my fingertips. Probably can get it for you. And he had passed, and my mother and my father moved back to where he could be with his mother and father in Missouri.
Wonderful. Yeah, I just a quick aside. My background is my great-grandparents came over here from Sciacca, Sicily, and Naples, Italy, so I understand that connection and have talked to them about how the language barrier was difficult when they came to America.
Yeah, so. I would understand that so much because when our people came over to, what island was it,
Staten?
Ellis.
Oh, Ellis, that's right, yeah.
Ellis Island, mm-hmm. Because we had given there a few years ago, you know, to rebuild it. And I was so proud to be able to put my grandmother and grandfather's name there, you know. But when they were coming over, Joe, no, they didn't speak English and they couldn't read it. So I think it was great that he started that little newspaper for them.
That's wonderful. That's
yeah.
Wonderful.
Then he went on to be a stage actor.
That's cool.
Performer at the Palace, which was in, before our day, maybe your mother and dad's day, it was the place in New York, you know.
Yeah.
And so we moved on to Missouri after his passing, and Missouri, and that's how I got there.
Wonderful. Now, do you remember any teachers you had in Grandview and lasting impressions they may have had on you?
Oh, of course. Of course. I had, well, first I remember Chuck, Coach McCrary the most, and my favorite. He and his wife, we went to the same church. That helped a lot. And then they used to be our neighbors across the street after I graduated, and so they're really close. And he became principal afterwards, did he, Joe?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, he was our principal. He was a coach first, and then he became principal. He was probably, for me and for he and his wife, Mary, very grounded people that I needed much in my life, you know. And then I had, Mr. Marsh, he spoke Spanish. I should have studied more, Joe.
I understand.
I did a lot now. And then we had Mrs., I don't know if Mrs. Reed was 8th grade or 9th grade, but she helped me write a Dear John letter to another outstanding student who I hope you will cover eventually, Major General Sam Westbrook.
Okay.
Are you familiar with him?
I've heard the name, absolutely.
Yeah, he was 19. I was 19. He was class of 1959.
Okay.
And he was my beau. He was my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And went on to become the general, major general you can go up on the website and read about Sam. Cammie will give you the link.
Sure.
He's really, really has done. God is proud for the world too, for the nation.
Yeah,
know?
Absolutely. That's wonderful.
Anyway, I'm probably rambling. Go ahead.
No.
My break.
No, that's fine. That's totally fine. I was just going to kind of piggyback off of that previous question and ask you, what's your recollection of both the community and the schools when you were here in Grandview?
What's the question? Cut to the question. That's a big question. How
did you feel about your education, and how did you feel about the community?
Well, I thought my education, I didn't care much about education at the time, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I cared about cheerleading.
Sure.
I cared about, I'm trying to think of our singing coach, Reed. I can see his face. At singing, at studies, if I got by with a C, it was fine with me. But I will tell you, they were... Then we had the woman who I used to meet with, who was the counselor. I can't think of her name. I can see her. But you know, you'd go in there for direction. I thought Grandview really, really, without trying to be schmozy or politically correct or anything, it was just it was a together school then. It really was.
Sure.
I mean, the education was as important as the activities. The activities were important as the... You know, everything was important, and I have to tell you, and you probably know this, Joe, those high school days were the best we'll ever have.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like everybody cared because we were in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And great days. Who knew anything?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't know much then, that's for sure.
I'm trying to think, but I remember Mrs. Reed helping me write the Dear John letter to Sam Westbrook at the Air Force Academy, and I remember, of course, Coach McCrary, and I remember the gentleman that was in, oh, and we had that little teacher, I can see her face. Dana Connie. Well, that's okay. I can see their face. I see them every, I have come back about 4 times for reunion. So, you know, I've tried really hard to stay in there.
Sure.
But because it means so much, you know.
Absolutely. So you said you were interested in cheerleading. What other extracurricular activities did you do?
Oh, I did volleyball. That was my favorite.
Excellent.
Volleyball was my favorite, and I think that's where I got some agile sense, you know what I mean?
Sure.
To teach you the ability to, you know, those things are important. You don't know they're important. You think you're doing it for fun, but really it's very, it helps you a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the singing class, of course, that was great. You know, singing was great. And I think probably by the time you kept up with that, and I worked at my mom and dad's restaurant before or after school, and that was a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And I also scraped the plates at the luncheon thing. You know, when you scrape the plates at lunch, you get free lunch. Did you know that?
Uh-uh. I didn't.
Yeah, if you worked in the cafeteria and you would scrape the plates, you would get free lunch.
Wow.
And so I scraped the plates, and I sometimes have to take off my cheerleading sweater because I didn't want the food to, you know, get on my sweater.
Sure.
And I thought that was a great opportunity, so I got a lot of extra sandwiches for people that didn't quite have food. It was fun.
Yeah, that's great. I had no idea. Maybe that still happens, but you can't deny a free lunch, that's for sure.
Well, free lunch, 5 days a week, 20 days a month. Yeah, it works.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So staying in the time capsule of youth, when you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I really wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to be a doctor because I was raised with doctors in Rolla, Missouri. I lived with doctors for about 6-7 years. When my mother and father, there were 7 of us, I guess it was after the Depression, and because everybody loved the doctor, they let me live with the doctor because the doctor didn't have any children.
Mm.
And so my eye was on being a doctor. That was what my eye was on.
So when did you move to L.A. and begin your acting career?
1969.
Okay. How was it in the beginning?
People were good to me, Joe. People were really good to me. I think being being green helps, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go in and you're grateful for everything. And people are, they can tell you're from the Midwest. Mm-hmm. I was overweight when I got there, and I think I was thin then. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're never too thin. Yeah. I'm not talking about the realities that hit later. I'm talking about at the beginning. Your eyes are big. You take singing, dancing. You know, I had a sister out there. I got an agent. People were good to me. But how are you going to be bad to an Italian Irish girl?
That's right. Absolutely.
Everything was like, and my mother was so worried about me, you know, because when you leave home, your folks care.
Yeah.
And I went out there, as I said, in 1969, and I hit big because I didn't know any different. I got national commercials, the Eastman Kodak national commercial, which was very, they showed it at primetime football time, mm-hmm. you know, and it's, just so you know, it's just a point of reference, when they put your commercial on a primetime show, you get 3 times more.
So,
you know, God was in my favor before I really had a personal relationship with the Lord. He was helping me, you know
sure.
what I mean?
Sure, absolutely.
I mean, it's like, okay, stupid, okay, you want to do, okay, we'll do this. I'll show you what could happen, but, yeah, I'm going to cover you. And that was important because in Hollywood, It doesn't make any difference if it's Hollywood or Grandview, Missouri. Temptation is everywhere.
Yeah.
And sometimes I have certainly succumbed to that because I'm a human being. But I do believe that, you know, I have to preach it. I believe that God's been on my shoulder for forever, you know.
Sure, sure.
Saying, look at me, you yucks. you know.
Absolutely. So,
I don't mean to make you uncomfortable.
No.
But I have to give credit where credit's due.
No, you're not making me uncomfortable at all. I love the... Everybody has a story, and many stories have silver linings, and you're just extolling yours, and that's awesome.
Oh, thank you. And so that's, you know, because I hit big there, and I got three national commercials, I was able to get my mother a home in Grandview and buy it for her and dad. And I was able to help my brother, who's a doctor, my brother, Bobby Carney. Dr. Bob Carney, who's done very well for himself. He's a heart surgeon.
Okay.
And they live in Tyler, Texas. Anyway, so dreams have been fulfilled, you know?
Absolutely. How did you land the job with the Wheel of Fortune?
Oh, okay. I have to go back to go forward. Okay. let's see. I was under contract for at 20th Century Fox for doing films like, Tammy, can you help me? I don't remember the films I did there. Television shows.
Television shows. You did like Love American Style.
With
Ellery
Bixby.
Ellery Queen.
With, I can't remember who, Robert Young. What was that? Marcus Welby.
Hawaii Five-O.
Jack Lloyd. But see, I don't remember. But anyway, I started doing acting. And Joe, I didn't like it.
Huh.
It made me sick. I mean, all I knew is that they wanted everything on a first take. And I was so worried I wouldn't get it, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, when you disappoint somebody?
Sure.
I guess it's like the basketball player not making the basket.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. Or the football player not making the touchdown. I think it's the same. Really, I do.
Yeah.
And my little lips quivered, and, oh, I would get sick afterwards, and I thought, this isn't fun.
Yeah.
Well, I was scared, you know, and I was getting co-star roles, and I just wasn't having any fun, and it was day by day. I mean, if you got a job, that was good, and if you got, you know, and then you started getting co-star jobs, but you're not having fun.
Right.
You're supposed to have fun.
Absolutely.
And so I got this opportunity to test with Merv Griffin. Merv is the one that owns Wheel of Fortune. And it was called something else. What was it called first, Tammy? I don't remember.
Shopper's Bazaar.
Shopper's Bazaar. It was called Shopper's Bazaar.
Huh, okay.
And thanks that you're on the phone, Tam, because, you know, it's such a long life. and they brought in a man that I used to watch on television. His name was 77 Sunset Strip Cookie Burns.
Hmm.
And he was the first man to test with me.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran it, what they have is a big academy in Hollywood, and it's Television Academy, and you go in and you look at shows and people judge you and vote. And they put us up together and they voted him off and kept me,
huh. Which
was wonderful because I don't know who these people are, but I'm grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And then they brought on a man by the name of Chuck Woolery.
Mm-hmm.
And Chuck was from Kentucky, real country, loved it, love country. We worked real fine together. And the biggest part about Wheel of Fortune, Joe, was that I was the first woman ever in history to get a television show on a game show with a microphone.
Huh.
Once you get a microphone on a game show, that's the first time in history, you get 3.5 times more money.
Wow.
See the microphone?
Yeah, interesting.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's very, it's the whole thing, totally interesting, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't because she was the biggest or the best or the thinnest or the prettiest. It had nothing to do with that.
Right.
Because I got the microphone, honey.
Interesting. That's very interesting.
Yeah. Very interesting. And so Chuck and I did this show, and we started going on the road. And then, but I couldn't Mm-hmm. I could not do anything else. I couldn't take another commercial. I was under contract.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you can't take another commercial and you can't do anything else, it kind of boxes you in a little bit.
Sure.
And so on my hiatus, which is vacation time, television talk hiatus, I went to this priest asked me if I would go to India, and I talked to my mom and dad in Grandview, and they said, oh, sweetheart, you don't need to go to India. You got enough people to take care of here in America, you know. I said, well, Father wants me to go, and I think it'd be great, and he knows Mother Teresa, and it could be an opportunity for me to grow and learn. And anyway, I went to India.
Yeah.
And stayed at Mother Teresa's convent, and I never was so hungry in my life. But bread and bananas get you by a lot.
Yeah.
And we worked with people in India, and there's long before Slumdog. Did you see the film?
Yes.
Long before Slumdog, that's how it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I had done the film. I swear I wish I had done that. Produced it, you know. It was
sure.
So good.
Yeah.
Anyway, while I was there, let me just say that my heart was touched
mm-hmm.
with the realities of life.
Yeah.
Because when you have a car pick you up and take you to work, and you get makeup and clothes and lashes, and everybody dotes over you because you're turning letters on a game show, go figure. Come on.
Right.
That's deep. That's
right.
Not deep. That's money. That's not deep.
Right.
Turning letters on a game show is a wonderful way not to work.
Yeah.
Your feet may hurt, but other than that, what have you done?
Right.
So the Lord, I didn't know what was going on. I really didn't know what's going on. But I came back and my contract, I came back December, and my contract would have been up in October.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to leave 4 years into the show, but I was advised not to. But after 7 years, after India, I just knew I could do more with my life.
Mm-hmm.
Than turn letters on a game show.
Sure.
And I knew if I continued to turn letters on a game show, I'd probably drink myself to death or something because it's boring.
Yeah.
And I had prayed, and Chuck left the show, Woolery left the show, because he wanted... Well, I won't go into it, but he left the show. And then they brought on Pat Sajak,
mm-hmm.
who's on the show now.
Yeah.
And I worked with him for about 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
And he was fine, no problem.
Yeah.
I just wasn't happy, Joe.
Sure.
And so I said to the Lord, you know, you got to give me the strength to leave this big show because I feel like I'm dying on a vine.
Mm-hmm.
And so Merv went to renegotiate the contract, and we were going nighttime. We're going to be syndicated now, not just national daytime. We're going to syndicated nighttime, which, again, is 4.7 more money.
Yeah, sure.
But if I wasn't happy in the daytime, why would I be happy in the evening?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I told Merv my contract. I told my manager and my agent that my contract's coming up and that I would like to leave the show and go into work in Houston because that was the medical center at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And most of my mail was about cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you remember, Joe, from 1975 to 1985, 1980s, it was all about cancer.
Yeah.
The big C.
Yeah.
So, Merv and his boss, they called my manager and said, oh, yeah, she's foxy. She really knows how to get some money.
Yeah.
She's going to double her money because they know. We need her because she's been established. Chuck's left and Pat's on. He's the newcomer. So she's trying to pull this on us. Well, I wasn't pulling anything.
Right.
I wasn't playing the game.
Sure.
I wanted off.
Yeah.
I wanted to leave. My contract was up.
Yeah.
So So I just can't believe that they thought that I would go to that extreme to get more money when I wasn't playing a game. So consequently, I left the show, broke in Vanna, who's on the show now, and I went into Houston to do cancer work to become a chaplain, which I've accomplished. And then we go from there. When you're ready, I don't want to be doing monologues here.
Sure. No, that's fine. I was just going to kind of take a look at your years in the entertainment industry. When you look back, what do you cherish the most? Who did you like working with the most?
For acting or for television? What are we asking? For acting?
Yeah, for acting.
Well, Jack Lord was the most professional to me. Bill Bixby was the kindest. I've been real fortunate because people have been kind to me, but I think when you want to be kind, they'll be kind back. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But it all comes down to how professional you are, because if you tell me you're going to be here at 1 o'clock today and you show up at 2 o'clock, there's a certain amount of energy that is lost and lack of respect or professionalism, you know?
Sure.
I've never worked with anybody that I disliked, fortunately. I think the fringes of the business, like people that have been around the fringes. In other words, when I was shooting Wheel, we had the Bob Hope special going on at Midnight Special. I think meeting those people in the green room and people like that has been fun. You know, how often can you meet a Jimmy Stewart? How often can you meet, you know, that has been fun for me.
Sure.
But I have to say that there's really nobody in show business that are any different than anyone else. My favorite people are, really sounds corny, is Golden Myer. I love Golden Myer and her work. She's done so much for Israel. In fact, there's a quote, Tammy. Do you have Golden Myer's quote there on your desk in New Mexico?
I can pull it up right quick.
Would you? Because and you'll see where I'm going in a minute, Joe.
Sure.
But I think probably name-wise, I don't think it's so much about the people you've worked with as the director that was kind to you or the writers that changed some things for you. You know, things like that.
Sure, sure.
Because that means they want to work with you, you know.
Absolutely.
I had to leave my 20th at Fox contract because they wanted me to do a film called Valley of the Dolls, and it had nudity, and I could just see my mother and Granny in Missouri looking at this, you know?
Yeah.
So I lost my contract there, and that's when I picked up those commercials, and that's why I went to Will, because I was so limited to what I could do at that time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, because, is your mom and dad, are they alive, honey?
My mom is, my dad isn't.
What happened with your dad?
He was diabetic, very overweight, just kind of got to a point where things just didn't work on the human body anymore, and he passed away in a hospital.
Oh, what year?
It was 2008. He was 64 years old.
Too young.
Yeah, he was.
Too young. I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm sorry because there's nothing as devastating as having your mother and father pass. Nothing.
Yeah, I never realized that until it happened, but yeah, it's a big hole.
And the fact is, we could have done something for him.
Yeah, I mean, he always kind of was under the guise that it was too far gone towards the end of his life. And I used to go to appointments with him, and they'd look at him like he was crazy. Like, you know, diabetes is something you can get under control. You don't need to say, I'm sunk. You just need to change your lifestyle around. And it was probably around towards the end where I was really pitching that he really looks at his diet, starts doing some things to stay around. And at that point, it was too late.
That's why I think he's 64. You know, it used to be people would die at 40.
Yeah.
Now we're dying at 90, you know.
Sure.
Because we're living longer. And, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but because of your daddy's death, it's where I went. So let me stay there.
Sure, sure.
I found when I was in Houston doing cancer work that cancer was a big business.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting. I'm trapped in the show business world because I don't want to do nudity. And I now find myself in the medical world seeing how some people aren't what they say they are.
Sure.
Just like Hollywood, no different.
Right.
And then I go over to the religious world because when I became a born-again Christian, they should have locked me up. It was so pathetic. I was doing everything except going to football games, signing out John 3:16. I mean, it was just ridiculous. Because anything that's not in balance is a problem, like diabetes.
Sure.
And so the reason I mentioned that is because it's a little hard maybe following and tracking this, but it's like I get there to Houston and do this, and I do get to meet people that are diabetics or people that, you know, have other issues, or they're trying to prevent cancer in their family or prevent diabetes in their family.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, genetically, if you were a client of mine now, I'd be concerned about how you ate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's where I'm going. So I hope that you're watching that.
Oh, yeah, I am. I know I'm not a spry chicken anymore, so I'm keeping an eye on it.
Oh, well, you are a spry chicken, but an eye on it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I just wanted to finish that thought. That's all.
No, that's great. And you're dispensing wisdom. That's all there is to it. So it looks like education is a big priority in your life. You have a doctorate, and we are in the business of education. Why is education so important to you?
Probably because I cheated myself so much in life by doing... I was in New York before I went... I mean, when I went to L.A. Let me get my juice here, honey. I had gone into New York and... been with the Eileen Ford models, and in Kansas City, I was the Kansas City Power and Light girl, and I was the Kansas City Robertson restaurant, I was the Kansas City Plaza girl, and you see, everything is by steps, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I went from Kansas City to L.A., L.A. to New York, and so when you be given a lot and you use that gift to get, you know, paid for magazines and paid for commercials and paid for acting, all of a sudden it becomes a reality that it's not what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Just because you were born a certain way, what you want to do is dig deep into the soil and find out how you're going to make this world better.
Sure.
And the only way I knew to do that was educationally.
Yeah.
And so when I left Houston, I went back to L.A. and started co-teaming the 700 Club and Trinity Broadcasting Network and the Pat Robertson Show. And I found that there was as many hypocrites in religion as there were in medicine as there were in show. I'm really making you crazy, aren't
I? No, you're not. I am a student of life, and you make a lot of sense.
Thank you. Thanks, Joe. Well, so... I didn't want to take the regular co-hostess job with the 700 Club in Virginia Beach, so what was I going to do? So I went back to my old standby, which is public relations, and started doing some PR and went back to school to get my degrees, and then I was sent over to Africa. Oh, Tabby, where was I sent? Please tell me.
It was Libya.
Yeah.
Liberia. Yeah.
Ethiopia,
the Philippines, the...
some other place, okay. So wherever it was, and I went for the American Leprosy Missionaries, ALM.
Yeah.
Because leprosy is our oldest disease in the world.
Yeah.
And my pastor said, you know, Susan, I really think that with everything you've been going through, that maybe this might be where your focus point may be. And so the former Surgeon General Coop of the United States of America and I worked in leprosy, and and did a documentary, and I was sent over, and I got to actually go to those places and work with the Untouchables.
Mm-hmm.
And it just really changed my life.
Sure. Sure.
And now we have a cure for leprosy.
That's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah. I can give you a few more countries here if you want.
They closed Molokai. I'm sorry, what'd you say, dear?
I said I can give you a few more countries if you
want. Only
like.
If Joe needs it, I don't know.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. The documentaries were filmed in Paraguay, the Himalayas, Nepal, Ethiopia, India, the Philippines, Brazil, and Liberia, Africa.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I do have that quote from
Would you save it for a moment, okay? Because
sure.
I'm on.
No problem.
I knew I'd gone some places, but I couldn't quite remember.
Go ahead.
But that, Joe, if I tell you to go into a church where the people have the, I mean, I'm just giving you an analogy because it's so unbelievable,
mm-hmm.
where you crawl up on a ladder and they have a little top of the roof cut out so the lepers can look in the church and listen.
Yeah.
Do you know what that does to you?
Oh, I'm sure it's amazing. It's grabbing me hearing what you're saying. That's an amazing juxtaposition of what we're used to in this country, that's for sure.
Oh, kiss the ground, hello.
Yeah.
And then the women come in, the regular women come in without tops on, and they taught over here, oh, you can't show your breasts. I mean, it's so overwhelming.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about travel. I'm amazed at how much you've traveled and how far you've gone, and I'm sure you have just heaps and heaps of wisdom due to relevancy and being able to compare different cultures. That's amazing.
Only because God allowed it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So the education, see, I'm trying to answer that question about education. Because, see, I wouldn't sign up to leave Wheel of Fortune and go over to leprosy work. What am I, crazy?
Mm-hmm.
But God would have me do that.
Sure.
Because His ways are not our ways.
Right.
And so when I came back from leprosy work, there was a thing breaking out in America. And Tammy, you get the date for me because I'm not for sure the date. And it was called AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, coming from the Midwest, any homosexual to me, according to my father, was going to be a dead homosexual.
Yeah.
I mean, we are so staunch. You know what I mean, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's really hard. Let me put it this way. When 9/11 hit New York, it took me over a year to pray for my enemies, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not my nature.
Right.
Okay, so when I was invited to Rock Hudson's home, because I'd been in the business of show business and left to go into the ministry, and they knew that I had worked in leprosy, I was invited to his home to help.
Yeah.
What's the chances of my educationally leaving Will, going to leprosy, coming back and being asked to Rock Hudson's home?
Yeah.
It never happened.
Yeah, sure.
It would never happen, Joe.
Yeah.
So, naturally, I went because the Lord didn't take me with leprosy. He sure was going to protect me, I'm sure, with AIDS.
Yeah.
And so, I ended up getting the Rock Hudson movie rights. I'm going to do the film on that eventually when I can. And end up testifying in a court case against his lover. All of a sudden, I'm in a court case now.
Wow.
All I did was go to help the man.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, the reason I'm sharing that is because that's all educational.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would never have that education turning letters on Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now I'm in the Rock Hudson thing. And what year was that, Tammy?
It was 1985, and of course you left Wheel in 1982.
Okay, so in a 3-year span, that's what happened.
Wow. Amazing.
And so that gives you the educational, and then I went back to school, of course, to get my BA and my doctorate and all that. And then I started producing television shows about why the FDA maybe is not right doing what they're doing to our nation.
Yeah.
And I produced 130 shows for Christian television, and then I produced some other shows, but they're all educational shows.
Sure, sure.
Except for the one, which is Hallmark, but everything else has been even that was educational, but with actors, you know.
Sure.
So I became a producer.
Yeah.
So I had to make some money, Joe.
Yeah.
So that's kind of been my walk.
Excellent. Let me ask you this. Who do you admire the most? Who would you consider a hero?
Martin Luther King.
Why?
Because he was the first to truly say freedom is not free. I mean, Abraham Lincoln is my favorite president. Mm-hmm. But Martin Luther, I think he got the shaft a lot.
Yeah.
And go to my hero, who I mentioned earlier. She's my hero. I have so many heroes, though, that you've never heard of. There's Joe Smith on my corner.
Yeah.
You know, there's sure. So many people that are so great.
Yeah.
And I think probably when when this situation, how old were you when Martin Luther was assassinated?
Oh, I wasn't even born yet.
You weren't born when he was assassinated?
Mm-mm.
You're 40?
Well, what year, wasn't he assassinated in 60?
Yeah, something like that.
69, yeah, I was born in 72.
Oh, honey. I forget. Wait, it's just that he had said that freedom has always been an expensive thing and that history is fit to realize the fact that freedom is, you know, really gained without sacrifice and self-denial. Well, Abraham Lincoln basically said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They shot him, too.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. Then in here in my home, I got a picture of JFK, but probably because of Sony president when I was alive, when he was assassinated, you know.
Yeah.
But then I have John Lennon on my wall, too, you know.
Sure. Absolutely.
They're all assassinated.
I know.
And so I guess I have to go to the people that have given so much of their life, which, of course, would be Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But that's not what you're looking for. I think you're looking for, you know, where your heart goes with what you know in history. And what I know in history is Abraham and Martin and people that stood up for something lost their life.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you have that quote on Go to My Ear, Tammy Dear?
Yes, I do. It says, "We will achieve peace when the Arabs love their children more than they hate us."
One more time.
"We will achieve peace," meaning the Jewish people, "when the Arabs love their children more than they hate us."
It's profound.
Is that a great quote?
That's very profound.
I think it is too, Joe.
Yeah, very profound.
I just love her.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
And I will tell you a story when I meet you, which I hope you're going to be there when we do our what do you call it, Tammy? Our reunion.
Yeah, when is that?
Reunion.
Is that scheduled?
Joe?
Yes.
Are you going to be there when we have the reunion?
I would love to be there. When is it? When's it scheduled for?
September 29th, I think, or 25th, right around then.
Okay, yeah, I'd love to meet you, and yeah, I would love to be there.
But then you have to remind me to tell you the secret Golden Meyer story that I know for a fact, but I can't do it on the recording.
Okay, that's great. I will ask you then.
Yeah, because that's a fun story.
Excellent.
And now we're producing, I just came out with a book. It's called Shame Between, no, what's it called?
Stop the wheel I want to get off.
I sound like I have, God, oh my. Stop the wheel I want to get off.
Yeah.
And It's the book that's come out. You might want to send it to Joe, Tammy.
Okay.
Yeah, I would
a
love
it. A hard copy or a...
I have a paperback. I have one paperback and I have...
Well, either one. Why don't you send it to Joe so he can...
Okay.
I would love to read it.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
And so we just had a script written on that so that they can come up with money for a movie.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, it is if they would tell it the right way, but you know how they're going to hack it.
Yeah, they always do, don't they?
Yeah, they always do, and they're always trying to make it more beautiful than it is or less than it was.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why some of your books are better than your movies, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And they just, I'm on entertainment director for the Motion Picture Hall of Fame, which is having the Oscars every day for everybody all the time.
Yeah.
Just the Oscars. Well, I'm going in tomorrow morning for the Oscars. And I thought I wanted to give the Oscars that were nominated a party on the next day, like a tea time.
Yeah.
For the ones that don't make it, because they were nominated.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we were working on that, weren't we, Tammy? We came right up to the edge.
Yes, we sure were.
In fact, are you going to watch the Oscars?
Yeah, I'll probably watch it.
Okay, let me give you two people that I want you to pay attention to.
Okay.
One is Ed Lauder.
Okay.
And Tammy, do you have his website?
Ed was in The Artist.
Oh, I'll tell him that, but do you have his website? You can look for it, honey. And he's, done everything in his life. A really great guy.
Sure.
Very Irish. Very Irish.
Sure.
And he comes in. We have Media Fellowship International. I'm the director on that. And the Media Fellowship International is for people like us, Joe, who work, like you said, you were in jazz, right?
Yeah, sure. Yep.
All right, so you would be part of our group. If I came to Kansas City and had a group, I would invite you.
Wonderful.
Because you're a person that believes that's in the business.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have those all over the world.
Great.
And March the 14th is the next one. I fly into L.A. and I'll do it there. And it's been my 32nd year I've been doing it, see?
Mm-hmm.
And so these people are composers or Academy Award winners or whatever, but they're human beings that need love and need Jesus. So
yeah.
It's so simple.
Sure. Absolutely.
So what I was going to do was have an Oscar after party, not that night, but the next day.
Yeah.
And I was going to have Ed Lauder, who plays the chauffeur in a silent film called The Artist, which is up for the Oscars.
Yes.
Did you see it?
I have not seen it yet. I'm looking forward to seeing it, though.
Great film. His part means nothing, Joe.
Right.
I mean, it's the size of your little finger, okay?
Sure.
But what about the 48 films he did before that?
No kidding. Yeah.
And he doesn't have an actual website, but he's on imdb.com.
Okay, I will look it up.
And it's Ed, Lauter.
Excellent.
Does he deserve this Oscar? No, he doesn't. Does he deserve a one for something? Let's say John Wayne Oscar, like they gave Duke the Oscar for something that he really didn't deserve, but they hadn't given him one when he did deserve it.
Right, absolutely.
So, because he was up against whomever.
Yeah.
So, and then Mother Dolores Hart, who when I went to lead Wheel of Fortune, I called her, and she's Catholic, obviously, and she works in Bethlehem, Connecticut, in the Abbey, which is behind doors. It's Cloister Nuns.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead, James.
Well, she's nominated for a documentary short called God is a Bigger Elvis.
Oh, okay.
And she had starred with Elvis and had probably an affair or two. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But she had to get permission from the Vatican to do this short.
Interesting.
And so we talked to her the other night, and we asked if we could do a tea party, and we'd have Ed Lauder and the other people that are Oscar nominees, and we'd have a little thing for the people that are trying to do the good stuff out there in the movie world, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, and then I'd ask the Archbishop if she wanted, or the man, the janitor at the floor. I mean, whatever she wanted, you know, I was going to do. Well, the Vatican won't let her stay but one night.
Hmm.
So there's no way we could do it.
Yeah,
so
sure.
It kind of dropped. But I thought, this would be great to honor people that really want to do the good like we do for MFI.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that fell through, but I was really excited. But watch for her.
I will.
Are you and your wife going to watch the Oscars?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. You won't miss her because she's going to get a lot of attention because she's going to wear her habit because that's how she's lived ever since she joined the contest.
Sure. Yeah, I will keep my eyes open for sure.
So it's sort of like Whitney last week, which our hearts were saddened, but they were gladdened when the fact that the glory of God, the glory went to God.
Yeah, sure.
In spite of the fact that she OD'd or used or whatever, the glory went to God.
Sure, sure.
Because the last song she sang at the Hilton was Jesus Loves Me.
Right.
So we kind of got excited. Well, hey, at least people know that regardless of how big they are, there's only one place we're going to end up.
Right.
And then, of course, we've had so many others. But now this weekend, Sunday here now, is going to be Blessed Tours Heart Coming in a Habit.
Yeah, that's great.
And, you know, a lot of those falling away Catholics or falling away whatevers are going to get attention. It's going to get attention.
Sure, sure.
And so we're kind of stoked about every little thing we can do for the kingdom, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's what we were working on, and it fell apart about 2 days ago because we didn't know she couldn't stay an extra day.
Right.
If it had been the other Pope, we would have gotten our own way.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure you would have, for sure.
Anyway, Tammy, you have Joe's address so you could send him?
Yes, I think it's on your emails, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah, or if you want to jot it down just to make sure.
Sure, I'll be happy to.
13007 10th Street.
Penn?
10th, T-E-N, 10th Street.
Okay.
Grandview, Missouri. 64030.
64030. All right, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
When you said that, it made me think, do you know what my first... I will have to tell you this. I was sweeping floors at Mom and Dad's restaurant. It used to be on the corner there, down Main Street on the right-hand side where the freeway is built.
Yeah.
Okay, and we used to have Richard Kabar Air Force Base people come in.
Sure.
And some of them were privates and some of them were sergeants and some of them were whatever. And this colonel and his wife signed me up and I went out to Richard Kabar and some sort of little contest my mom and dad took me to and my first pageant, I won the Miss Richard Kabar Grandview, Missouri. That's where I was. Richard Kabar Grandview, Missouri.
Yeah.
That's who signed me up the first time ever.
Wow.
Precious?
Yeah, that's very cool. It's funny, that's the reason why I'm in Kansas City. My dad was born and bred in Brooklyn, and he wanted to get out of the service and see the world, and he got stationed at Richards Gebauer, and the rest is history.
Oh, do you love that?
Yeah.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
Isn't that sweet? What a nice confirmation for a close.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you said Grandview, I thought, oh, that was my first pageant. They put me in there, and I won that. Richard Kabar is from Grandview, Missouri.
Absolutely.
And it was so sweet because I didn't know anything, but the wives liked me, and that helped a lot. And here, your daddy, to Richard Kabar. Isn't that lovely?
Things come full circle, don't they?
Yeah. See, it's a really nice. Now, Joe, listen, you call Tammy if you need anything. She always knows how to patch me through.
Absolutely.
And if you need prayer or anything goes on there, I was talking to somebody from Grandview last Saturday, one of the classmates, I'm sorry, I don't remember her face, but I would know if I saw it.
Sure.
And I was praying with her family, and unfortunately, one didn't have any faith.
Right.
None. That makes it tough.
Yeah.
And the other two did. So it was like cross, you know, it was like a fork in the road, you know.
Sure.
But if you all need anything there, or anything happens, major or minor, call me.
I will. And I really appreciate you taking your time out. You're a delightful human. Thank you very much. And look forward to reading the book.
Oh, good. Well, I, if she'll send that, you don't mind a paperback, we'll just get it off to you. And what's your wife's name?
Carrie.
T-E-R-R?
C-A-R-R-I-E. Carrie.
Uh-huh. You tell her I said hi.
I will, definitely.
That I'm going to meet her in September.
Yes, sounds wonderful, Dr. Stafford. Thank you for your time again. And
you're welcome.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care.